Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this morning. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast the leadership team with Elemental Churches. How are you, gentlemen?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
Well, let's kick this off. The president of Elemental Churches, Dave Workman. Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about Elemental Churches? How are you serving folks?
Well, the main thing that we do is work with churches. And I'm sure that some of your listeners think, all right, so what does a church have to do with being a business entrepreneur and so forth? But organizations are organizations. And so after being part of a mega church here in Cincinnati, Ohio for 30 years, we launched a consulting group to help churches grow, help them get healthy, help them organizationally. We like to think of ourselves as doing a organizational discipleship. How about that?
It sounds on brand. That's a good move there. Now, talk about when your clients are churches, do they have unique challenges that maybe traditional businesses don't have?
Yeah, I think they do. The things that are in common, for instance, that, you know, the church that I was a part of and led for a number of years, in some ways it functions organizationally like a small business. We had $10 to $12 million budget. I had 120 people on staff. There was a lot to manage and a lot to take care of. The things that make us different are we depend so much on volunteers, and the way you manage volunteers, you have to work with intrinsic values. And so I don't have a paycheck or a financial care to put in front of those. For instance, when we opened up a place called the Healing Center, which was to help the marginalized, the under-resourced in Cincinnati, Ohio. Cincinnati at one time was the seventh poorest city in the nation of big cities. And so we wanted to help with helping the under-resourced. That took about 500 volunteers a month to serve 3,000 to 4,000 people each week. And so because of that, you have to manage in a different way.
Now, when you're working with people and using kind of a large why as the carrot, as opposed to large piles of money as the carrot, does that change anything when it comes to motivating people and inspiring people? Or is this something that people, because they're part of the church, they already kind of buy into that, or they wouldn't be part of the church in the first place?
Well, I think that implies that you have to have your mission really clear, that people really have to understand the purpose for which your organization, in our case, a church, why it exists. And we existed solely to love the people of Cincinnati, to serve them, to create resources for them, and so forth. So you tap into their intrinsic value to have purpose and to help the community that they're a part of.
Now, is that the thinking behind the name Elemental? Like, wasn't an accident?
Yeah, the elemental part comes from our research in working with primarily churches, but any organization. And what we did was identify what we think are the four essential or four critical elements that every organization has to have in order to be healthy and to be effective. And those four elements in our mind were integrity, that has to do with infrastructure, that has to do with systems and processes. It's how you get your job done. In our case, how we get our mission done. Passion was the second element. Passion is the energy, the vibe of the organization in terms of wanting to get the mission done, how committed they are to the mission. The third thing is servanthood. Outward focused is the organization. And lastly is imagination. That has to do with change capacity, the ability of a leader to ask what if questions. What if we started doing this? What if we stopped doing this? The ability of leaders to blue sky in their organization. If those four elements are active and they're fairly balanced in any organization, organizations tend to be healthy. Same way with churches. And those were the things that we began to assess in churches when we began putting our inventory together.
Now, you mentioned that this started at a mega church, the idea of this. How did you kind of pull your team together? And then why don't you introduce your team?
Well, I have my first contact was the dean of a local seminary here. His name is Dr. Tom Thatcher. Tom and I had met a few times before, and we had lunch, and I showed him a PDF, a draft copy of a book I was working on called Elemental Leaders. I said, tell me if I'm out to lunch on this or what you think. Yeah. And he jumped in on it, and I'll let him kind of tell his connection then with us.
Yeah, my background is in higher. I've been in higher education for 25 years, aside from church, and then also in the publishing world. And so I was coming from a framework where I had seen in the education industry dramatic changes in the way that information and learning, experience learning, can be delivered to people. Moving from when I first started, man, everything was still face-to-face and pretty much classroom-based, and going into environments that were fully online and hybridized and different amounts of time to try to get more and more results for people in different amounts of time. So when Dave and I first began talking about this fourfold model that he just mentioned, he showed me his book, and we were also talking about starting a consulting group that would make consulting and information more accessible to the broadest number of organizations. So in church world, you know, we give a lot of thought to the big churches that are around in different cities, but 95% of churches in the U.S. are less than 300 members. So most of them are very resource strapped. They operate much more like small businesses than, you know, the big corporations that tend to capture your attention on the stock market. And what that means is that the very large majority of them don't have any kind of access to consulting or any kind of outside help because they just can't afford it. So we began talking about, are there ways we can deliver the experience and the information of consult that you would typically pay a consultant a lot of face-to-face time for, through channels that would be more team-based, that would use more distance learning models, and now more recently gamification models, so that we could reach organizations that really just normally would not have access to that type of help. So that's the side I kind of bring into it when I came in, looking at how we get that data, how we structure experiences that maybe a smaller organization that doesn't have a big budget can still get the benefit of a consulting experience without the normal price.
And the third part of our team is my buddy, Al Buckwhites. Al and I worked together for years now. I'll let him explain his unique gifts and talents and history as well.
Yeah. So I got involved really first off because Dave and I were friends, and Dave was going through a transition in life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I could be a good friend in this time to him.
Menopause.
It was menopause. That's right.
Career menopause.
just kidding. For those of you that are serious. But that's how we started. And then he showed me his book and said, hey, do you want to give some feedback on it? And then really over time, I became more drawn into the business. And I'll tell you the real reason why. There's a part of me that's always been attracted to cutting edge. I've always been attracted to disruptive business ideas, disruptive concepts, not because I'm trying to disrupt, but because I think that many times we get stuck in ruts and we do things the same old way. And so disruptors come along to improve and really create a new way of doing something that really adds value and really helps a lot more people. And so, I mean, I was along for the ride and enjoying some of the pieces of what we're doing. And then honestly, when I saw the Focus game, the Focus strategic planning tool that's gamified, I thought, whoa, this really represents something significant. So that's how I got here.
So now let's talk a little bit more about Focus. How does that come into play? And you mentioned that your target are these smaller churches of 300 or so members. That would have, I would think, its own challenges when they are that small, as opposed to some of these mega churches that have bigger budgets and kind of bigger teams.
Yeah. So I would say once we discovered this idea of gamified tools, we thought, yes, that the small churches are indeed one of our targets, but we found that really our target is really much broader than that. It's our target is anyone that doesn't know how to lead a strategic planning experience and really needs some outside help. I mean, that really represents our target. So that includes small churches, Lee, but it includes sub teams and all different sized churches or any organization that needs a tool that's going to not only create an outcome, which would be a strategic plan, but a tool that brings learning into the middle of the experience. So it's really a double-edged sword. It's both learning and output. I call it really learning by doing, which really represents a really cool approach to helping everyone broadly in the area of strategic planning.
The need that we saw, Lee, was after we would take churches through our assessment process, our inventory, it would come with at the end of 10 to 12 weeks of online consultation, it would come with maybe an 8 to 12 page report with perhaps 5 or 6 recommendations. And we would see pastors or boards of churches just kind of glaze over like, wow, we don't even know where to start with this. So sometimes we'd be called back to spend a day walking their staff through a strategic planning process. And that's not really cost-effective for the church. And so that led us to the idea of if we could gamify a process for strategic planning, that would be fantastic. And so we spent a year in development and actually beta tested it with churches all around the country and came up with about a 6-hour game for up to 12 players. And by the time they finish, they have a game plan with 4 distinct goals that they've established, with 4 strategies per goal, with ownership and timelines all built into the process.
Now, what is the pain that these constituents are having where they're like, you know what, we got to call the elemental people to begin with? Like, what's the genesis of the kind of how the relationships begin?
Well, it can be any number of things and typical of small businesses as well. In churches, they can plateau or they can begin to decline depending on the changing demographics of their community or the city they're in. It can be any number of things. It could be staffing issues. It could be quality control issues. It could be kind of mission drift where they've kind of lost their reason to be. Any of those things would be a reason why you would call any consultant, whether it was elemental churches or whoever, to come in and help think through or process what the real issues are.
Most of them just feel stuck in some way, and it can be different ways. Like Dave said, they can be stuck in a staffing problem. They can have 3,500 members and their facility's not sufficient, and they just don't really know how to go forward. But they could also have 150 members, and you know, they may go up in their membership and up in their finances, but then it'll drop back down because they don't have infrastructure. So it's mostly organizations that are just stuck somewhere and realize they need something to get past whatever that barrier is, but they haven't really figured out what that is. And they don't have the time they don't think they have the time or the energy to push through that barrier.
Now, when they're having this kind of, they feel like something is out of sync or there's a plateau or there's some challenges, do churches, do the leadership of churches feel like this is something I have to solve myself, or do I go to my team internally before even kind of considering an outside resource?
Well, interesting. All the tools that we have developed in the inventory itself that takes them through those 4 elements, all of our stuff is team based. And so we're not real hip to the solo or the solo pastor or the all powerful CEO model. We love the idea of team learning, team based discovery, organizational self discovery. So it depends. It depends on the personality of the leader and their leadership team, or in smaller churches, it might be their board or whatever it is.
A huge distinctive with churches, and the same as with schools where I came out of, and obviously in any not-for-profit, is that they're all not-for-profits, which means nobody owns them. So you never can have a situation where one, well, sometimes you have real, you have personalities. Some pastors have personalities that they pretty much rule the roost, but you don't have a situation where one person can just walk in one day and say, hey, we're going to go this entirely different direction. It's a much slower process and a very challenging business cycle because the decision-making processes can take months. Whereas in a typical smaller business or even a larger one, depending on their infrastructure, individuals can move much, much more rapidly. So normally the organizations we're working with are always dealing with a team of people with very diverse backgrounds. Some of them are typically professionals at what they do. And then many are not. Many are, you know, board members or, like Dave said, volunteers who bring expertise from other areas, but they all have to kind of come together around a common vision and sense of their mission, or there's just no way they can succeed.
Now, do these churches that choose to work with you, is their first point of contact typically, Dave, your book, Elemental Leaders?
I think it's a mix of things, really. Our main thing is the website. So that, you know, that gets our, what we do out into the larger, the, interweb. A lot of it was based on our, at first, our relationships and our networks, throughout the country and friendships. And as you know, word of mouth is powerful. The best salesman is a satisfied customer. And so, the people who have typically worked with us have had really, really good results.
And then walk me through, say I'm running a church and I'm thinking, okay, this is something for me. How does it begin? So maybe I've read the book. Maybe a friend has told me that this is, I should be working with you guys, but walk me through kind of those beginning steps to kind of kick off the focus program and to begin this kind of playing around with this gamification, which is probably unusual. Like, I probably haven't done things like this before in my organization.
Well, in general, what we find is that most churches, and this is true of all organizations, they may not be totally aware of what their actual needs and challenges are. Or they may, so often they think that, they think that what their problem is, isn't actually what their problem is. So, ideally, the first thing we developed was a way for them to do a team-based sort of self-assessment of their organization using this framework we just mentioned, the systems, commitment or passion, outward focus or customer focus in the world of business or client focus or community focus, and then innovation, imagination, change capacity. So ideally, if we connected with the church, the first thing they would do is go through, and again, this is using, like I said, a distance education model. So the first thing they would do is go through a very structured but really self-driven process of assessing themselves, both as individual leaders and as an organization. What, as my colleague here, Dave, mentioned before, once they go through that, we write a report that is presented to them and with very specific suggestions about what their next steps might be. And in writing those reports over time, I had noticed that I could just copy and paste the line that says you need to develop a strategic plan from every report into the next one, because very, very few churches, like most businesses, just don't really have a strategic plan. They kind of do what the calendar and the, you know, what the day-to-day need demands. So the focus tool would ideally be thinking something you would do, just it's a strategic planning tool. So ideally you would assess where you are and then move into a mode of making a plan for the future that's building on the platform of where you are. And so then we were thinking, okay, typically strategic planning for congregations. Well, I don't know if there's a typical, it can easily cost $20,000 and up. And that is just not accessible to the very large majority of any nonprofit organization, much less churches that are, you know, always trying to be conservative and careful with what they have. So we discovered that if we use the gaming model, we could significantly reduce the cost by giving a more powerful tool that would allow the team to go through that same process that you might typically bring a consultant in for, you know, 2, 3, or 4 weekends where they're spending a huge amount of FaceTime on that. So, but if a church already had a strong sense of who they are and what they wanted to do, and they're thinking we need strategic planning help, absolutely. Many have just bought the Focus tool, the game, and gone through it and gotten good results. A lot of them are already self-aware of their pain points. So they're like, hey, we know where we are. We want to start planning. So give us the tool and let's get rolling on that.
But this is something that if they do kind of buy into the whole thing, at the end of this, they're getting really actionable next steps that they can implement pretty quickly after they've gone through the process.
Oh, yeah. The goal of the game, like with any game, you win the game when you actually have, as Dave said, a functional 12 to 24 month on paper plan. It's not a huge, robust thing that's going to be, you know, like what a university would have. It's going to be 100 pages, but very typical of what like a small business would have, where you have your four goals for the year or the period, and then you have four strategies under each one, and dates, and who's going to do what. But again, the gaming process accelerates a lot of that conversation because it simplifies it. So they do it. Yeah, they do end up with that.
And then is this something they should be revisiting every couple of years, or like how often should they kind of have maintenance with this?
Well, the primary idea of the Focus game is a 12 to 18 month or so strategic plan. So what do you want to get done in the next year to year and a half? We develop refill kits for the pieces that they write on, and it's highly interactive. There's a lot of pieces to it, and it's fun to do. It forces engagement, forces interaction, and it's designed to kind of lower the domineering voice in a team so that everybody has a voice. And when everybody has a voice, there's higher ownership in the process. So it works really well. And we've already had people buying the refill kit so they can use it the following year or within 2 years.
Can you share a story maybe of a church? You don't have to name its name, but of something that kind of had really explosive growth, or they were really kind of blown away by the exercise?
Yeah, there's, as a matter of fact, on the website at elementalchurches.com, we have a whole list of results of people who have written in, said, hey, this happened, that happened, and so forth. A smaller church recently told us that they had, after doing the inventory, the Elemental Church's inventory, they had the best year they had ever had in every way. So that meant in terms of growth and effectiveness and impact and in the ministry to the poor that they use. Who was the guy that we put at the very top, Al?
Oh,
from Arizona.
Yeah, I think it was I think it might have been a Lutheran church.
Yes,
roughly around 500 or 600 people
who used Focus.
Yeah, and who struggled. They really struggled historically with doing strategic planning well, and honestly, they just heard about our. Just the Focus strategy tool, use that without any kind of help, didn't know us in any way, and had massive results. I mean, it was really positive. I don't have the output in front of me to read it, but it was really good. So I'm going to just do a quick clarifying point, Lee, just to help really clarify the conversation. We started primarily as a consulting practice. As a result of starting as a consulting practice, we discovered two things. We discovered the way it was done could be improved. The second that we discovered is that we discovered there are actually kind of micro processes in helping an organization that if those micro processes are turned into just products, those micro processes just used on their own will set organizations free. And then we found that we can not only design kind of an interventive system for someone that's stuck, but we can use our consulting skills combined with the products to create a blended experience that has both some consulting expertise in it and then what I would call consulting expertise in a box. In other words, this enables us to help people that we never see, we never meet, because all of our intellectual capital is dropped into this box that you can buy online and take it home, open the box and play it. And suddenly you've learned how to strategic plan based on our years and years of experience. And yet it only costs you $379 instead of spending $2,000 that was coming in for a day. Is that helpful? I mean, I hope that captures it. Yeah.
It seems like you have something for churches of all sizes and needs, and it kind of flexes to whatever their situation is.
Yeah, it really does. And really, it's I think that's part of I think where we're going, and not just organizationally, but even culturally, people are looking for apps to help them to do things, right? There's skills you can get out of apps. In this case, there's a game you can play. So the idea is, how do you take what you know and package it in a way that it's an experience, and that experience creates learning and it creates outcomes in a way that really hasn't been done in the past. It's really cool. So instead of reading, like, for instance, reading a book about strategic planning, you don't need to read the book. You don't need a coach. You don't need a consultant. Play the game, and you'll become an expert. Yeah. And in the meantime, you'll be creating great outputs for your team.
Right. Not only will you become an expert about the theory behind it, you're creating the action steps specifically for your needs.
Yes. Well put, Lee. Thanks.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to learn more and get more information, you mentioned a website. Is that the best way to get a hold of you guys?
That is the best way, yes. All our contact information is there, and pages that explain exactly how the different tools work. For instance, we just came out with a new tool called Vibe, and part of that is just helping church leadership teams recognize the first impressions that their website and their church gives off. And that goes for any organization. If you're in retail and people have a bad experience in your store, they're not coming back. Well, it's the same way with churches. And psychologists tell us that within 7 seconds, people form a first impression. That's pretty much organizationally true, too, I think. And so we developed kind of a secret shopper game-like tool where the leadership team or whatever department is going through it takes on the guise of a secret shopper of 4 different avatars, and they try to see their church, their website, through the eyes of either a 30-year-old single woman up to a 60-year-old 12-stepper.
Part of what we're doing, Lee, which is part of the mystery and or the magic behind LNL churches, is we're testing models with a unique group. But our intention is to take these ideas and translate them into business. In other words, we've got strategic planning for churches that's really geared that way based on the unique needs. But we plan to take these tool ideas, and we think small business could benefit from it as well. So we're playing with how we'd like to do that. But you can see in your own mind, I'm sure, how this kind of approach could work for multiple contexts, not just churches.
Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
Man, I mean, a lot of organizations struggle. Well, I've been a gamer all my life. I'm a video gamer and love to play games. I've always played sports and that. So that makes sense to me. But a lot of churches and businesses think games are for fun time, and they don't really think of that as a serious thing. But the research is really showing that all games do is take an existing process and change the dynamic around how that process works. So games are just, whether you're playing Candyland or Yahtzee or tennis, it's just a way of causing people to interact in a certain way. So when you can take a process like strategic planning, vision casting, which very few organizations have a really viable vision statement of what they want to do or clarifying their values, when you can turn that into a process that controls and streamlines the way that people think and talk about something, you can actually get a result much, much quicker than going through just a random conversation that might take months to get something done so you can actually do in a day. And what Al's referring to, we actually have had a number of businesses and not-for-profits reach out and say, you know, how could you guys adapt some of this to that environment? Because it's just surprising how much you can get done in a very quick time when you change the rules of engagement about how a process happens inside an organization. So if any of your listeners are just interested in what, you know, I've heard about gamification in the Wall Street Journal, what does that mean? Get on our website and shoot us an email, and we'd love to talk to you about how that works too.
Right, because I imagine all of this can be kind of modified for any business. It doesn't have to be churches. It doesn't have to be servant-led organizations. Pretty much any business that has these needs, I'm sure you can adapt this gamification around their industry or their business.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, once again, the website is Elemental Churches. Thank you so much, Dave, Tom, and Al, for sharing your story. We appreciate you being on the show.
And thank you, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.